Chapter 98. When Kylar became aware, he was standing on the roof of the Hall of Winds. The wolf stood next to him, and the world had the indistinct sheen Kylar had come to associate with the antechamber of mystery. "So, I'm dead," he said. He had no passion left in him.
"No," the wolf said. "I can come into your dreams. It just takes a lot of magic. I have some to spare now."
"You're Ezra." He inclined his head. "Then, what's the hunter? I felt you in it."
"It's my hubris."
Kylar glanced at him. This was not an explanation.
"I tried to undermine the Dark Lord's own work by twisting the Twisted back on the Twister."
"The Dark Lord? You mean that metaphorically, right?" Kylar asked. He chuckled.
"You are still Kylar, aren't you? But not to worry. The hands of Hell are still bound for another 15 or 20 years. Until then, the Hunter and I will battle for control every day. I can only be here while it sleeps."
"What?
Do you see this, Kylar?"
The wolf, it was still hard to think of him as Ezra, gestured to the city. Kylar gave it a cursory glance.
"This is how it was when you lived here?"
It was beautiful, but Kylar didn't care.
"This is real.
This is what you and your friends have done." Kylar looked with new eyes, stunned. The city was completely restored, and it was a marvel. The streets were straight, perfectly paved. The houses were immaculate, from the largest manse to the tightly packed row houses in the artisan's quarter. Fountains pumped sparkling clean water in squares throughout the city. Hanging gardens flowed over white marble walls. The dome of the Hall of Winds was covered with beaten gold. Nearby, the castle shone white and red. The fields below the city were carpeted with green shoots of growing crops. The docks on the lake and the locks on the river were restored. The dam was closed and the water level rising. Every sign of war and death was gone. The Krull's very bodies were turned into vegetation, Ezra said. "It's a better trick than anything Jorson or I ever managed." Flowers were budding everywhere, at every corner, bordering every field. Rows of beautiful red flowers bursting from bulbs. Kylar had never seen their like, or known any flower to bloom so early in spring. "How did Eline trap Kali?" Kylar asked. "I'm certain that she isn't talented." Kylar paused. "Wasn't, I guess."
"There's more to magic than the talent, Kylar. You've seen that yourself. When have you been most powerful? When you've acted in harmony with the deepest parts of your own spirit?" "Eline trapped Kali through love. It was a love that said I love you too much to let you do more evil, not for the sake of your victims only, but for your own sake. If it had been a rejection, Kali could have escaped and become disembodied once more. It was only Eline's love that made your justice possible. If I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't have thought such a thing could be done. Obviously, Kali didn't either."
Kylar had felt rejected when Eline had left him, without telling him where she was going or that she was pregnant. This cast her in a different light. It hadn't been a rejection.
She had simply seen that he wasn't mature enough or selfless enough to let her do what she needed to do. Eline had taken Kali not out of a rejection of Kailar, but out of a profound acceptance for who he was, not only as a man, but as the Night Angel. Her only purpose in trapping Kali was so that Kailar could kill her. Eline had believed Kailar would do the right thing in the end, so much that she had bet her very soul on it. For if he'd faltered, unable to give Eline up, Kali would have taken her over completely.
"What happens now?"
Kailar asked, tears coursing down his cheeks.
"Your friend, Logan, will be crowned High King of Siora, Cenaria, Kalidor, and Lodrakar. He'll establish his capital here and rename it Elina. Not for you, but because he is a man who believes in honoring sacrifice. Within a few years, it will be one of the great cities of the world again. I suspect he will reign well."
Ezra shook his head. "Fir Kusat will go to Toras Bend and set up a forge and start a family as he's always wanted. He'll take care of Dorian." Dorian was the architect of all this magic, but now he's completely mad. I don't know if it was the Vir infecting his prophetic talent, or him ripping the Vir completely out of himself, or the death of the Vir that caused the madness. I don't suppose it much matters. But that he rooted out his own Vir did save him. Indeed, he is probably the only Verdmeister in Midcryu who didn't die along with the Vir. God King Wanhope will be declared dead. Durzo will be reunited with Gwynvir Kirenna, who will eventually rule Cenaria and rule more capably than any king or queen has ruled there for 4 centuries. Vi will return to the Chantry to finish her schooling. There will be calls to make her speaker, which will scare the hell out of the current speaker, Esteriel Wyant. Vi will decline, but not before using her influence to make the speaker swear that no sister pursue you. To a surprising extent, they will actually obey.
"And what happens to me?"
Kailar asked.
"You will be welcomed wherever you go in this guise. Sooner or later, the world will have need of you again. You are not a man to fade into oblivion, Kailar Stern. Secrecy, perhaps intentional obscurity, certainly. But never oblivion." He cocked his head to the side in his wolfish way.
"I have a question."
"Yes?"
"You were 4 days away from the wood when you unveiled Kurok. You knew that it would draw the hunter?"
"Yes."
"How did you know that the hunter would make it here in time to make a difference in the battle? Indeed, as it happened, all the difference. Without it, you didn't have nearly the power those spells required."
Kailar remembered removing the black Kakari from Kurok before going to face Nefdada. It had barely been a conscious act. He'd known that the hunter hated Krull and that it would be drawn to reclaim its stolen sword. Maybe he'd thought it would come earlier and kill a lot of Krull. But more than a plan, it had simply been something that felt right. It felt like he was moving in consonance with the universe, with his own deepest character. If the wolf was right, that was its own kind of magic.
"I don't know,"
Kailar admitted.
"I believed."
The wolf got pensive.
"In this world of shadows, you believe? Despite all you've seen?"
Kailar took a breath, looking over the city in all its splendor,
and remembering what it had looked like not so long ago. We live on a great battlefield, and you and I fight behind enemy lines, he said. Like it or not, my lupine friend, you are one of the lights that helps me believe. Ezra hmmed. I will consider what you've said. The creature stirs. The day's battle begins. May the light shine on you, my friend, Kylar said. That's twice you've called me friend. Ezra seemed to taste the word as if it were a flavor long lost. Then he smiled, accepting it. Thank you. Ezra turned away, then hesitated. He turned back. There is one other thing. The red flowers. They're a modified tulip, not native to Mitkrayu. They're known as the Heralds of Spring. They're the first flowers to bloom every year. They're a symbol of hope. I studied the magic, and Eileen made them, Kylar. All of them. She made them for you? Ezra's voice cracked. I couldn't save her. I owed you that much, but I couldn't save her. Ezra pursed his lips, and his jaw clenched as he crushed his own emotions. He touched Kylar's shoulder. I must go. May I not see you in the antechamber of mystery for many, many years. Tears flowed down Kylar's face. There were tens of thousands of red tulips. Every intersection, every field, every house was adorned with them. They were Eileen's sign to him of her presence, her joy, her acceptance, her love. Only Eileen would put such beauty in the middle of his pain. How was he ever going to live without her?